Hey guys, welcome to the Tech My Africa podcast. My name is Muiwa.
I'm Emmanuel.
And my name is Titilola.
So what's happening in tech this week?
A lot of things, right?
Still the Okada guy.
I mean, first of all, yesterday we had the mayor of Brampton in Canada. Brampton, Ontario in Canada visits Tech Point.
And it was also Emmanuel's birthday.
Belated happy birthday, Emmanuel.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Feel so loved.
All right. So yeah, let's go straight to all that is happening in tech this week. So first of all, Gokada. Is it Gokada or Gokada? I don't know. Nigerianism is... I think I've heard the Nigerian announcement.
Yeah.
I mean, last week, there was news about the layoffs. Was it last week or the week before? The news about the layoffs. Laying off more than about 75% of their staff.
And they claimed that it was because of the ban, as a result of the ban.
Yes.
They claim.
Yeah, although we found out that the layoffs have been going on since, like, there are two weeks ahead of us last year.
Yeah.
And then when we reached out to Fahim Saleh, the CEO, he said that the idea is they're trying to go lean. Yeah, cockroach mode.
Yeah.
They're trying to
go lean. That's a Google that.
And they're going into, they're considering going into delivery. Yeah. And then this week, a picture surfaced on social media of a Gokada rider with a, what they call that things, those things they put at the back, whatever it is.
Yeah, delivery.
The delivery is whatever thing. Yeah. And there's a chop.
Yeah, they just put chop
the
there.
The O was spelled with the Gokada logo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everybody's wondering, are they entering into food delivery? And then we reached out to find him and he said, yes, they are, but they've not launched yet.
Yeah.
They'll be launching within the next month.
Yeah.
And they will still also be doing delivery, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, this so that like, everybody is trying to. I'm imagining that the other guys might follow suit.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's nice. It would be a nice way to divert their bikes to other things.
Exactly.
Okay. So, but the question is, will they learn the lessons they're supposed to learn from the ban in the transport sector?
That's a very good question, because another thing that is, would there now be, because okay, bikes are idle, so they are now being diverted into deliveries and all of that. Would there now be an influx of like oversupply of delivery bikes,
and
the government start looking again and like, what's going on here?
Exactly.
Let's regulate this one too.
Also, the guys in the delivery and the food industry right now, they are facing some challenges. How do they plan to like to face those challenges and all that.
Okay, challenges like traffic or...
I don't even know, to be honest. But I feel like, I mean, they will have challenges and they're diverting their bikes just like that to food.
Yeah.
I don't know how they plan to like...
So I imagine it won't be just food. It will be other things.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of social commerce going on with, you know, people needing delivery bikes.
Okay. Just logistics and food. Okay.
So maybe just like from the app, deliver what you want to deliver.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, they're not the first to try and do food delivery. I mean, of course, we already had Jumia Food, but I mean, among the bike hailing guys, don't forget that I think it was 2018 or 17, must be 2017. Max,
Max,
Aquia hired a startup because they were about to launch something called Max Eat.
So, what happened to that?
We don't know
exactly.
What
I'm sure that they had some roadblocks,
that
made them like just stop doing it or maybe just went low-key. Well, yeah, so. It'll be interesting to see how Gokada navigates the food and logistics market.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, all the best to them. But here's one thing. Even though Fahim told us that they have not launched yet, they are launching within the month. According to TechAbout, they have actually launched. So this TechAbout says they have an insider in Jumia and an insider in Gokada that both claim that, first of all, Jumia is partnering with Gokada. Gokada is partnering with Jumia for the food delivery, Jumia Food, and that they've actually launched. I don't know. I mean, of course, that picture that surfaced is of a bike.
Yeah.
So maybe it was the bike in, there was no context in that tweet whether the bike was in operation
or it was just like picture, a bike. Yeah.
We have no idea, but I guess we'll be watching out over the weeks. If you guys spot a chop bike,
yeah,
you can snap a picture and send to us. We'll be happy to, you know, see that. Anyway, but I mean, we're still on the after effects of the whole Okada ban and all of that. I mean, with all the bike hailing guys having to pivot into something else just to keep their bikes busy. But then we noticed that there might be a loophole that can bring them back into business.
Yeah.
Emmanuel can tell us if you're about that. Legal.
So I talked to a tech lawyer and policy expert, Timi Olagunju, And he explained that, okay, according to the Federal Constitution of Nigeria, there are three lists in that constitution: the exclusive list, the concurrent, and the residual, rather.
Okay.
So the exclusive is just for the federal government. The concurrent is the federal and state, and residual is the leftover powers that are not being handled by the two of them. So, and inside that list, the exclusive list contains federal roads, and those federal roads are what the Gokadas and the OPs and the and the MACs are applying. And the state government mentioned that, okay, these guys will be banned in these roads. So the question Timmy was asking was, can the state government make regulation? Can they make laws that affect federal roads?
So what that means is that it's probably illegal what the state government is doing.
Yeah.
Because they have no control over federal roads. Yes. Federal roads.
Yeah.
Is that what it means?
Yeah. Well, when I was discussing with him, it was like, he referred to cases where the state or the federal government has sued clamped down on state governments that were tampering with federal roads. They were even repairing the roads without permission
from the federal
government.
But then this is an APC led. So on the federal level, there's... Am I supposed to... Okay, I don't want to say APC. But then on the federal, both on the federal and state level, they are the same party. So I imagine there's some kind of synergy.
Yeah.
Like,
so like our policy columnist said, for the state government to have done that, there's probably sort of like collaboration between both parties.
Yeah.
So, but naturally, the state is not supposed to have control over federal roads, even if it passes through the state. Yeah.
But I imagine that if you have a good legal team and whatever, you sue the government, or they may drag, maybe you could win.
Yeah.
How long do you want to drag that for?
Yeah, there could possibly be other loopholes we could see. And
well, it'll be interesting to see.
People are very optimistic that this ban will not last, at least for the ride-hailing guys. Maybe they'll reach a compromise with the government and get them on the road.
Yeah, that reminds me. Yesterday during the town hall, I was talking with a policy expert and the policy consultant for the government, and he thinks there's a way for them to come back. And I think I will look into that later to see if there's...
But then, you should look into that. But then the Lagos state government is saying no going back on the
bus. Please, people go back on anything they want, as long as it suits them.
Well, we'd like to see how it goes. But I mean, I'm sure that many people, even our listeners that stay in Lagos, it has been hell.
Yes, it has.
It's not been funny. It's not been funny.
Getting around Lagos.
Yes. Bus fares have been hiked.
Yeah.
People are walking. Wow. Everything is just...
Then the ride-hailing guys, the riders, they are now...
Jobless, like?
They're not really jobless. They're partying with the normal bike riders in those areas where they did not reach that those entering by 100 naira, 15 naira.
Wow.
For
goodness, like that's so terrible.
On the utilization of the power of the
bikes. Heavy bikes running where Bajaj bikes are. It's not...
Let's move away from the depressing news.
Depressing.
And a few startups had some good news this week. There was Connected Analytics, which is the company behind Thank You Cash.
Yeah.
They got accepted into 500 startups, and they are the only African startup on the 26th batch of 500 startups.
Wow.
Nice.
500 startups is a Silicon Valley based accelerator. So that's very interesting. It's good to see. Congrats to Simeon, who before used to run Simple Pay. It's interesting to see that, you know. Congratulations to them. And then also Ella Credits raised $10 million, announced $10 million in debt financing.
Yeah,
and they are expanding into blockchain, and Ella Credits is the loan online lending platform.
I think they've been experimenting with AI as well.
Interesting stuff. Congrats to them.
Yeah, I think it's a good move with the clampdown on loan applications now by Google and the rest of them.
Exactly.
So it might make sense for them to pivot.
Yeah, cool stuff. Anyway, there's more depressing stuff. I mean, everybody must remember last year the layoffs at Andela in Nigeria, Kenya, and Uganda. They laid off about 400 of their junior staff.
Yeah.
Because there was a dip in demand for junior staff. And they said they're going to start hiring more senior staff.
Developers.
And then now WeTracker has come with a story, a report, claiming that even their mid-level developers right now are struggling to get placement. So they said of about 100 mid-level developers they have, only 10 got a placement in the past year.
Wow. So in the past year?
Yeah.
So what have the rest been doing?
For 12 months.
They've just been like, according to the reports, they keep asking management, what's going on? They're like, oh, we're working on it. We're going to get a job. So they're just there idling away.
Wow.
That's crazy.
They say we should expect more layoffs.
Seriously? More layoffs?
So like, what is going on?
What's the end game? Like, so they started with junior developers.
Yeah.
And now junior developers can't even get jobs in Andela. And now senior, so maybe at some point they will only be hiring senior developers.
According to the report again, they are still hiring.
They're still hiring mid-level.
So they're trying
to keep up with the appearance.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, when you raise so much money, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars. And I mean, what I find weird is, when Adnella started, there was the whole narrative about, brilliance is equally distributed, but opportunity is not. Want to take everybody, whether you know how to code or not, are going to teach you and give you connect you to all class opportunities.
Yeah.
And then now maybe like over the years they realize that
it's not sustainable.
They let go of funded junior developers. And now your mid-level guys too are like, so it's like it seems the demand all over the world is for senior developers.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. I mean, many companies Very experienced hands working on their
So
the question now is, what is going to happen to all the junior guys and the mid-level guys?
They'll come and work for normal startups.
Yeah, but then that's it.
Startups can't even afford those guys.
Wow.
Yeah, because even Andela never services local. The service companies are abroad and I don't know.
And even if they let them go, you've worked for Andela, so most startups will never be able to afford your services.
So unless the developers
are willing to settle down,
I would want to do that really.
When you have no choice, beggars.
And even according to the report, they say when the ones that were laid off last year, that Andela did quite a good job of giving them packages.
Yeah.
And then also connecting. So according to what the report says, Andela says they connected them to opportunities. Mm-hmm. But what the lead of guys are saying is what they just did is they just send them emails about job opportunities that they can apply to.
So no all references the ones that got jobs, and stuff. They did not get it
through Andela.
That's serious.
They either got it through an ex Andela or another Andela that helped them or something they applied.
It's even interesting that this story is getting out. Because I know Andela likes to control their PR.
And
those guys, I'm sure they made them sign NDAs. So the ones that speak to the press or whatever, I mean, they have to be very, very,
very pissed.
Very pissed.
Exactly.
Like, very, very pissed.
Exactly. I mean, we are going to do our own investigation now.
Yeah.
Look into that. But it's just interesting.
So,
and then we still have many other places coming up that are training developers. We have the Decagons, the Semicolon. But the good thing about those ones is they're not taking the Andela mode the way Andela is saying, we are teaching you free. And then
Sign you abroad. And
so that one is you are paying up front. Yeah. Or either you're paying up front or you're getting some kind of scholarship.
Yeah, where so that after you, have to pay
after
them
you
back.
Get a placement, yeah. you pay back.
Pay back. Oh, like
kind
a
of
loan.
Like what Lambda School does.
Okay.
So
I mean it's not sustainable, except you are running an NGO.
Exactly. So they still run the junior developer program and they still runs it in Rwanda.
Because
the government is
subsidizing it.
It's funding that.
And I think they partner with companies like Google to train developers.
Yeah,
and
then a learning community.
Yeah, so.
So if there's nobody to sponsor that, it's not sustainable for them.
Yeah.
But then the question now is, so what did they raise all the money they raised for? The hundreds of millions of dollars. What's that money going into?
To hire senior developers. I don't know how many of those they have.
Is this like an indication that, okay, too many people are learning coding?
Yeah, there's an oversupply.
Yeah, of
and not enough quality. That may be it.
Everybody's
like, I'm a developer.
But how many of them are really good developers?
Exactly.
I mean, if you read stories of employers trying to hire developers on Twitter, you know that it's not easy to find one. Like there are a lot of people who claim to be developers. When you hire them, you know that they can't do anything.
And some of them know how to make noise. Just
And I so guess it's a, I think it's maybe a, I don't know if it's a an ecosystem thing, yeah, or is it a general thing where people are all noise and no action.
I mean, in the age of Twitter now, everybody likes to
so
audio experience.
Exactly. Anyway, well, I don't know. I will look into that. What do you guys listen to think about this situation? Like, developer, is there an oversupply? Is there the demand, supply versus demand, and all of that? What's going
quality
on?
Quality versus quantity.
Quality, exactly. Quality versus quantity. I mean, there was still another debate on Twitter over the week. This guy that usually gives out laptops to developers in Nigeria.
Okay.
Anybody, you can live on $1,000 a year in Nigeria.
What?
But you can't live on $1,000 a year in the US. And that people that earn that amount in the US are living in trailers. So it was people were like taking it like he's saying that, oh, he wants to underpay developers because he engages a lot of Nigerian developers. He's one of those guys that is always like, I'm trying to remember his username.
I know the guy.
He engages a lot of Nigerian developers. He's always like, oh, I paid them well. Mm-hmm. I like Nigerian. There's so much quality. Mm-hmm. So people are now asking that, was he patronizing when he was doing all of that? Because it looks like the guy is
like $1,000.
Although I understand what he was saying, like maybe in some remote villages in Nigeria, there's some people that can live on
360k.
He doesn't interact with people from remote villages.
Exactly. So,
I'm sure guys, most of his guys are in Lagos, Abuja, Ibadan, Abuja, exactly, like in cities.
So you have to wonder how much he's paying.
They cannot live on $1,000 a year. It's not possible. What?
That's crazy. Even,
even a junior developer in Nigeria working at the startup will not accept 36k.
Exactly. Wow. Per month.
That's like NYC.
NYC guys, use coppers like any more than that or about that amount.
Wow.
So anyway, I think we need to even look into that. The whole developer thing. We'll look into that. How do you want to police that? I remember having a discussion with someone a while back. The guy is very all big on informing comments and everything. So it was like, we're talking about this whole developer situation and how quality versus quantity. And it was like, why doesn't the government set up like a policy where you have to register like a association of Nigerian developers or something. So that anytime a big company is looking for a developer, they can go on that database and say, oh, this person is registered. I know that this person can do it. Yeah. Like he's saying it may not be compulsory to register on it, right? But if you want to get the best jobs, you need to register there so they will test that you are good enough. Oh. And then people can now trust that. Oh, if I get a developer from this place, it's good.
Or like a platform to build credibility. Yeah,
I don't know if it was national something, something of, I can't remember. There's this association or a government thing that was trying to I can't even remember. They're trying to get developers and tech talents to register, to become registered. Yes, I don't know where I saw it. I can't remember. But something like that.
That would be interesting. I don't know how that would work. Yeah, like, but should it be government doing that?
I don't know. You should not.
Anyway, guys, let us know what you think. You can tweet at us at techpoint.ng, or use the hashtag TechPointsAfricaPodcast. You can also email us at podcast@techpoints.africa.
Yes.
We'd like to hear your thoughts about all of these things.
You can find all the stories that we've talked about on our website, techpoints.africa.
Yeah, I will put the link to them in the episode notes. Titi, how far with SME Clinic?
Oh, yes. We are a few weeks
to SME Clinic.
It's happening on February 29th this month. The last day of this month, it's a Saturday. If you're a small business owner, if you know any small business owner, pay attention. This event is going to teach you how to grow your business with the power of technology. And it's going to happen again, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at National Theatre, Igomu, Lagos.
How much?
It's absolutely free. Thank you for asking that question.
Wow.
Very free.
Wow.
So if you know anybody, a small business owner or whatever, your family member, your friend, go to smeclinic.techpoint.africa to register. Again, absolutely free.
What do I learn there? Like, let's give us an idea of the
You learn how to take your business online, how to create Google My Business page, run Google Ads, Facebook, Instagram ads, how to run successful Facebook and Instagram campaigns. You want to learn that. How to communicate with your customers online. Very important.
Yeah.
How to use spreadsheets for data analysis.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
All of this for free.
That's big. For free.
That's not all. How and where to get loans and funding for your business.
Oh, that one is very important.
And how to sell online too.
Very, very important.
Imagine, see the things I'm
Each of these topics are master classes on
your own. Exactly. So please go to smeclinic.techpoint.africa. Don't miss out on this opportunity.
Yeah.
2020 is your year. Inspire.
If you feel like you're too big for this, I know it. Do you know someone who doesn't know it?
Everybody knows somebody that should attend this.
And then if you feel like, I want to do something, but I'm too big too. We also have our pitch storm.
Yes.
That is going to be taking place during TechPoint Build in April 30th to May 2nd. Pitch Storm is our startup competition. Last year, we hosted 12 startups from all across West Africa. Yeah. It's open to startups across West Africa. And the winning startup, Estate Intel, got $10,000
in grants.
We did not take any equity. So apply. We're going to put the link to that too. There's no specific, but we'll put the link in the episode notes so that you can apply.
Yeah.
It's open to early stage startups older than a year old. Making some revenue and all of that. You'll see the criteria. So apply. Anything else?
Yes, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify,
SoundCloud,
and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Tune in. Yeah, everywhere.
Listen and subscribe.
Listen and subscribe.
And if you're listening on our Apple Music, rate us.
Apple Podcasts.
If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, rate us. It helps people find us.
Yes, please. Thank you very much. So, guys, again, we'd love to hear from you. And thanks for everyone who listens every week in, week out. We'll be here again next Friday.
Hopefully, good news.
Yeah, hopefully, mostly good news.
And don't forget that today is Valentine's Day, so.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Be loving and people like us and be merry.
happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Have a fun day.
Yeah. Okay, once again, my name is Muiwa.
I'm Emmanuel.
And my name is Titilola.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.